We find many similarities in the monastic life in all religions: simplicity, devotion through prayer or meditation, and service to others. Christian clergy are especially committed to service in the fields of education, health, and welfare, and Buddhist monastics have much to learn from these Christian traditions. Practice of the morality of individual liberation, whether lay or monastic, leads to contentment. For example, monastics adhere to a limited diet, a small breakfast and then lunch with nothing after that. They have no right to demand, "I want this food or that food." Whatever they are offered on daily rounds of begging, they must accept. Thus, Buddhist monastics are not necessarily vegetarian. Whatever they get, they will eat. That is the training of contentment regarding food. Such contentment alleviates anxiety about getting this or that kind of food. Lay people can emulate this practice by not insisting on special foods. Even if you are rich, you actually cannot consume much more than poor people, except to your own detriment. Both rich and poor have the same stomach. With regard to clothing, monks and nuns are limited to only one set of robes. To own more than one, he or she must get the blessing of another monastic, keeping in mind that the extra robe also belongs to the other person. We cannot wear expensive clothing. Prior to the communist Chinese invasion, monks and nuns sometimes wore luxurious clothes, which amounted to corruption and self-deception. In a way, we could say that the communist Chinese have been kind to us by destroying these corruptions. This limitation in dress is the practice of contentment regarding clothes. Lay people can adopt a similar practice through moderation in dress. The same is true for adornments. Wearing more than one ring on each finger is certainly too much. It is a mistake to think that it is really worthwhile to spend more on food, clothing, and adornments just because you have more money. Rather, spend more on health and education for poor people. This is not forced socialism, but voluntary compassion. Also, it is essential for monastics to be satisfied with adequate shelter. An elaborate home is not allowed. This is called contentment with regard to shelter. Lay people can adapt this practice by reducing the never-ending quest for a better home and for the furniture and decorations in it. Examine your attitudes toward food, clothes, and shelter. By reducing expectations, you will promote contentment. The extra energy which is released should be devoted to meditation and to achieve cessation of problems, corresponding to the fourth and third noble truths. In this way, the three types of contentment are the basis, and the resulting action is called liking meditation and abandonment. We should be contented in material areas, for those are bound by limitation. But we should not be contented with regard to the spiritual, which can be extended limitlessly. Though it is true that a discontented person who owned the whole world might purchase a tourist center on the moon, that person's life is limited, and even the amount that can be owned is limited. It is better right from the beginning to be contented. However, with regard to compassion and altruism, there is no limit, and thus we should not be content with the degree that we have. We are just the opposite. In the spiritual field, we are content with slight amounts of practice and progress, but materially, we always want more and more. It should be the other way around. Everyone needs to practice this, whether lay or monastic.